Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Boss, Michelle Obama. Woo!
So the best moment in the Super Bowl commercials was the ad for Always, redefining what it means to play like a girl. But the new book by the co-founder of HGTV advises working women, among other things, to play the workplace game like a man. Susan Packard is the co-founder of HGTV and a founding member of Scripps Networks. She joins us now to talk about her book, New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace. Hi, Susan. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
And I just want to acknowledge that women and men in the workplace have had one of the hardest mornings in a while getting to work if they're traveling by subway. I'll reveal a little inside information. This was about the closest I've ever come to being late for the show.
Oh, my word. No wonder I got that call so early this morning.
Got here at about 20 to 10, which is really late for me. And the reason was that the A train that I was on was just so stuck in traffic on the express track there and the local track uptown for a while. And I know a lot of people are having that problem out there, so we just want to acknowledge. And in a few minutes, we'll give you the best transit update that we can about how these things are clearing out. But bosses out there, if your employees are later than usual today, give them a little slack. It's a really bad subway day. Just saying. And if you're one of those traveling, maybe even listening underground right now, on one of the places where you can actually get the station, we are commiserating with you. All right. Susan Packard, you say you're not asking women to act like men, but you are advising them to play the game according to men's rules using men's gaming language. So what do you have in mind?
Well, what I have in mind is for the reader to understand when they get into the workplace, it's like a big playing field. And there are men and women running around on it. And they can all impact your career one way or the other. So it's not just your relationship to your boss that's important. It's the whole workplace. So it's a way of looking at the workplace in a much broader way. And no, I'm not suggesting that women play like men, because I actually think that that would be counterproductive. They would end up in that place where they're seen as too aggressive, too direct, too ambitious, and all the B words that come with that. Bossy is the nicest one of all of them. Mm. And but what I am saying is that because men have been in leadership positions since time began in business, they have created the institution of business and its rules. And so it's important for them to know what the playing field is about.
And so this whole frame that you have of it being about gamesmanship, that's a very guy kind of thing. I was just hearing a report on The Takeaway just before this show on the station on WNYC AM that these women in the Senate and the House in Congress, there's 100 women now for the first time. And whether they're Democrat or Republican, one of the things that they seem to have in common that's different from men is that they have more of a tendency, even in this polarized era, to be bipartisan, to work across party lines, which is a lack of gamesmanship, it strikes me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And yet the workplace by men's rules, you frame play the game.
Play the game because it's a team sport. And, you know, women, at least of my generation, weren't raised with team sports the way that little boys were. So when you get into the workplace, it can look a bit foreign and it can act that way. So when people want to express their competitive spirit, you feel like it's a personal affront sometimes, when no, they're just playing the game of business.
So listeners, particularly working women, if you want to call us up and react or give us your own rules of the game, or talk about if the frame of gamesmanship helps you succeed in the competitive workplace, talk to Susan Packard, co-founder of HGTV, or ask her about HGTV. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Susan Packard's new book, New Rules of the Game, 10 strategies for women in the workplace. And the 10 chapters are the 10 strategies. And chapter one is it starts with conditioning. So what is conditioning in this sense?
In this sense, conditioning is three skills that the reader should learn if they want to go into a C-suite job eventually. And that is line work, which is profitability work, operating experience, having some financial knowledge, and then the last is having a global view. And all of those are, if you're in a C-suite job of a big company, those are all important.
Chapter two, play it cool.
That's composure, and that's how we carry ourselves and how we communicate in the workplace.
And chapter three is interesting. It's learn to play offense. And you say it's okay to be a little bossy. There's that B word that you cited before. But it's best to be, quote, artfully assertive. Is that just a semantics difference?
Artfully assertive, by that I mean you have backbone. You have to challenge if you want to advance and if you want to do the best job you can for your company. But you have backbone without breaking someone's back. You're not hurtful. You're not brazen. That's what I mean by that.
There was a Pew survey on this that came out 2 weeks ago. It found that most Americans find women indistinguishable from men when it comes to key leadership traits like intelligence and capacity for innovation. But 40% of Americans still feel that women are held to a higher standard, which makes it difficult to move up the ranks. And 73% in that survey expect to see a female president in their lifetime. But what do you think of some of those findings? Like, that 40%, and we can guess what gender most of those 40% probably are, still feel that women are held to a higher standard, making it more difficult to move up the ranks.
It's trickier for women. There is no doubt about it, which is why a lot of my book is focused on likability, and I call that fan clubs, building your fan club. Because of society, culture, tradition, which is tenacious and hard to change, there's bias in the workplace about women being in leadership positions versus support positions, which is what we've traditionally been in. So when you see a woman in a leadership position, she just looks different. It's a woman. And so there's more that she's held to a higher standard.
And chapter four is master the strategies of brinksmanship. When I see the word brinksmanship, the first thing that comes to mind is negotiation. Like you're a lawyer in contract negotiations or that kind of thing, that kind of brinksmanship?
That's exactly right. And as opposed to the political definition of brinksmanship, it's negotiating. And there really are some tricks in negotiating, especially negotiating with men, that I bring to light in that chapter.
Is there a business equivalent of throwing the pass instead of just giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch when the game's about? No, maybe not. Helen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Helen. You're on WNYC. Hi there.
Was in the business world for many years, and the thing that was most lacking for me, I probably was, but anyway, the thing that was most lacking was I didn't know anything about football, tiny bit about baseball, but I didn't keep up with it. Those are the things you absolutely, those are going to be at every meeting before the subject of the meeting, so you better be able to join in.
Well, in my book, it's interesting you bring that up, because in my book I do, in every chapter, talk about the parallels between, and I use actual sports metaphors and experiences to business, just to provide a little bit more understanding and color to my argument. But you're right. The language that men use in the workplace is amplified by all of the sports metaphors. And so,
not just the sports metaphors, but the actual knowledge of, like, getting that Marshawn Lynch reference that I just made.
Right.
When there are probably a lot of women, disproportionately women as compared to men, who would say, oh, competitive sports, I'm just not interested, and it's not relevant to my job, and why do I have to learn that, you know, to be successful at being a lawyer or an architect or whatever I'm doing?
Well, again, remember, it's a language. What I'm trying to say is this is a language of business, and like any place else, if you go to France, it's better if you speak French. When you go into the workplace, it's better if you can understand and speak the language. But even if you can't, to be able to have that knowledge that that is what's going on. And there are ways. I mean, you think about team sports. You think about, you know, some of us are runners. Some of us like – there are lots of things that you can find as parallels to build your fan club.
I have a guy friend who's not very interested in sports who says, I watch the Super Bowl every year just so I'll have something to talk about with other guys till next February. Kelly in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kelly.
Yes. I have a client who is steadily, a female client who's steadily moving upwards in her company and getting more and more successful as she moves forward. And her work product has continued to exceed expectations. However, she dresses incredibly sexy. And this is start to have been a what appears she's being considered for, you know, greater management positions as she's moving forward. And her position is that her work product should sort of speak for itself, but she's had mentors in the company kind of pull her inside and say off the record, we want you for this, but, you know, you're going to have to think about dressing differently. So I was just wondering what you thought about that. Here you have a person whose work product is excellent, beyond expectations, continues to move up in the company, but is now hitting this issue. And she does, I have to say, she does dress pretty sexy.
Well, I have a chapter called Suiting Up, and it's not just, you know, your brain power and your talent. That's your entry pass into the world of business and advancing in business. But It's the whole package, and you're interfacing with other people. It'd be great if you could just do it alone, right? Especially those of us who have managed companies. But you can't. Your most important asset is the people you work with and your colleagues who support you. So what she's doing, she may not realize it, is she is really is harming her ability to advance further because, you know, women who dress provocatively, either men will be uncomfortable around them or they'll want to hit on them. And either one of those, she doesn't want. Mm-hmm. And so actually she's really creating more of a problem for herself. And is she a millennial by chance?
I'm sorry, say what?
Is she under 30 years old?
Yeah, she's 30.
Well, there you go.
Which tells you what?
Well, it just tells you that the millennial generation likes to play by their own rules that they're making up as they go, and they are very impatient with the rules that of institutions.
Kelly, good luck.
Thank you.
To you and the woman you were talking about. Well, let's take another call. Let's see. How about Anna in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I have worked for two very large museums, both, you know, second-level positions under the directors, one of whom was a competitive football player and a downhill skier. The other was a rugby player. I was a downhill racer and also raced crew. I had the most horrific experiences in those work situations for the very reason that the sports metaphor was prevalent. In my own organization, those sports metaphors. So in my own organization, we run it like a crew team, which means there's a stroke, there's the heat in the middle, and there's the lookout at the back. So my question for you is, what sport? And why are you suggesting that women look at these extremely competitive, aggressive, bleeding sports as opposed to other kinds of sports which are really about team playing and can be just as successful and much less unpleasant?
Yeah, and in my book, I don't just talk about team sports, to be clear. I talk about card games, board games, chess. Really, any place where one expresses their competitive spirit is what I'm getting at here. And what I'm trying to help women do is express their competitive spirit openly in the workplace.
Right, but there are different kinds of competitive spirit. I guess that's what I'm saying. And it's you're saying is like there's sort of one kind, and it's a very male kind.
Well, I guess I would differ with you, and I would say that there are several different ways that you can express your competitive spirit. And I know that as I was growing up, I expressed it in all kinds of fashions because I was a terrible athlete. And so I had to find other ways to express it, which ended up being in board games and card games and other things like that. So I think there are a lot of different ways to express it.
Thank you, Anna. And we have a similar call. I'm going to take this similar call that I think has a slightly different take on the same question. Mary Ann on the Upper West Side. Mary Ann, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I think there are some really incredibly astute observations. And while this is probably all very good information to know, it just seems so terribly old-fashioned to me to... you know, to provide this information like, hey, this is what it looks like from the, or these are the terms and things that the guys talk about, but then to advocate that, okay, then this is how we should play, rather than trying to change the paradigm. This is just like, okay, so we, let's keep perpetuating this male-dominant competitive society, because I've worked in completely female-run organizations, and I've worked in male-run organizations, and they're very there were some differences, but there was nothing to indicate that the quote-unquote, female team was business-doomed, and that the way of the future for business will remain with this, male competitive paradigm. There will always be competition. But the idea that it will still revolve around these, supposed masculine traits is, it reminds me of when my grandmother was telling me, this is how boys are, and therefore you have to adapt your behavior when I was little. Rather than you change the way the game is played.
Mm-hmm. Susan?
Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. And the whole point of laying out the rules is for the reader to see the workplace in a broader way, in a different way, in a way that can be more positively impactful for her career. Like the fact that as on a playing field, a lot of people can impact positively her career, okay? And when we get to, I've been in business 30 years, and nothing has changed at the senior level. We still have men running it. And my point with the book is if you read the book, you will get more enlightened and informed about what's going on in the workplace. You can choose to go by the rules or not go by the rules, but if you want to get in a C-suite position, these rules will be helpful. And once you get there, like I did, you can create a matriarchal culture like I did.
How are you doing that at HGTV, for example?
Well, at HGTV, the first thing we did is we sat down. I was with a team of seven men, and we created core values. And once you do that, you go on record with your company about what the values of the company are. And so we had values like work-life balance, compassion, support, shared responsibility, and on and on. And so every year when Scripps Networks is, when the surveys come out about what are the best places to work for women, that is in the top. So my point is, I'm tired of the way business has been run by men. I'm trying to provide a roadmap for the reader to get to that place so that they can impact and change the cultures of companies.
Fascinating. You could write a whole sequel, maybe you will, that, after these 10 strategies for women in the workplace, playing by the male-dominant rules that exist, you could write a whole new book, 10 ways to put matriarchy in the workplace once you get there.
Absolutely.
What would be your top three?
Work-life balance would be right up there, and that's creating actual policies. Not just policies. It's a state of mind that, your supervisors understand that these issues are important, not just to women, mostly to women, but also to men, and especially millennial men coming up. So that would be my top one. And I think that's my top two and three.
Yeah, yeah. It's so important. All right, before you go, let's try a little lightning round to finish up.
Really?
I'm going to read a phrase that's commonly used to advise or describe women in business, and you give me a short take on it, whether it holds up in your experience or opinion. All right? Lean in, Sheryl Sandberg.
Do it with finesse.
Women can have it all. Work, marriage, kids.
Depends on your stage of life.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I like that.
If you cry, you're finished. Martha Stewart.
Disagree.
Ban bossy.
I think that's impractical.
And lastly, because people are still buzzing about that Super Bowl commercial, like a girl.
Love it.
Susan Packard, founder of HGTV, her new book is New Rules of the Game, 10 Strategies for Women in the Workplace. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Brian.